Deep, falling deeper. Cold and nice, 난 너무 싫어. 기다리기에는 너무 길어.
So for today's song, we are going to be listening to Good Enough by Extraordinary Heroes. To reach your hand, ever done. At the end and pull away, chances gone. Is it gravity or ocean wind that always bring me to you, let's be true, cause it's you, just let me wait till you know, wave goodbye, let me sleep by your side, cause it's good enough. So that was Good Enough by Extraordinary Heroes. This is a song I have absolutely loved. In fact, I think I actually may have accidentally used this on another episode previously. So if I did, I totally apologize. And if you're hearing it for a second time, that just goes to show you how much I have enjoyed this song. I also have enjoyed a lot of other Extraordinary Heroes songs. So if you're ever interested in trying to search them up, go ahead, because they're great. Today, what I'm going to be talking about is something that I wasn't ever expecting to be talking about, because I thought I had already said my piece on this series and I thought I was going to move on and just finish watching the ending in enjoyment. But that did not happen. Fact is, this reminds me of another drama which was also extremely popular in its own right. And if you don't know what drama that is, it is 2521. And if you know what that drama is, you probably know where I'm going with this. Or if you've read the title to this episode, you probably know where I'm going with this episode as well. 2521 was an extremely popular drama. I think it was released in 2023. Not 100% on that, so if I'm wrong, please correct me. But this was an extremely popular drama. I saw so much love for it throughout its entirety almost. And then the ending just made it crash and burn, so much so that it was at a 9.0, I think, or it was close to a 9. On mydramalist.com, which, you know, if you've been following on mydramalist.com, to get a 9 is extremely rare. To get up in the high 8s is also extremely rare, from episode 1 to episode 11, with episode 11 having a bit of a spike, especially in the metropolitan area. It was at an 8.8, I think, which is pretty high. But as soon as the last episode aired, that rating just boom tanked. And because of that, it kind of ruined the entire drama. For when the phone rings, when the last episode came out, all I was reading, like everywhere I read, was people complaining about how badly executed the last episode was. Again, I can't really blame anybody for this, because I myself was very unhappy with how this ended. It went from an 8.8 and now it's down, I think, to an 8.3. Not good. That's how bad the ending was for this drama. Yeah. So I don't know, listeners, if you are ever been familiar or in the thespian community, if you've ever been in or around Broadway, but one of the famous sayings is give them that big finish and leave them wanting more. It doesn't matter if you've had flop after flop after flop throughout the entire show that you're in, if you give them a good finish or something for them to be talking about later on, that's good. Yes, it's going to be remembered, much like 2521, but it's going to be remembered as a train wreck, as a total miss. And that is not something good, because then now you've got people pissed off. You've got an audience pissed off. And I've seen so many people kind of say, okay, well, never mind. I was waiting till all the episodes come out to see what, you know, people were saying about it. And it looks like a lot of people are angry at it, which They are, and rightfully so. Other than the political agenda that they put into the show, there's other problems to the storyline in the 12th episode that people just disconnected with and hated. This episode has been so contentious and so disliked that it's kind of funny. It just goes to show you should never piss off your audience. Number one, chal turoyo takanim. Don't piss off your audience. Even I, as a writer, know not to piss off my audience. You piss off your audience, you lose your audience. And then you lose future audiences because you lost that audience. You see where I'm going with that? Number two, always follow the trajectory. Trajectories, character arcs, and things like that. This is where my problem comes in, is trajectories and character arcs. If the Chakanim had followed the trajectory and the character arc that they had set out from the previous 11 episodes, I personally wouldn't have much of a problem with this series. Again, I'm leaving out the propaganda, the political portion of it, because I am not a very political person and I don't want to get into that kind of argument. I'm leaving that totally out of the equation for this review, okay? So for me, my big problem was the writing, the dialogue, and the lack of a character arc. Just a moment. I need to plug my computer in because if not, it's going to die and that's going to be sad for me. Where I was going with this was that I had my three main problems with this drama. The first one being is the script writing. Whoever wrote for episode 12, especially the dialogue, especially when Hong Hui-ju and Baek Se-yeon finally meet again at the very end of episode 12, is hella cheesy. The directing is hella cheesy, and I'll get into that in just a second. The dialogue between them when they're finally talking, it's like, who made this? This is cheese R Us. I mean, wow. It was so cheesy that, I mean, granted, the actors were doing all they could. They were doing a phenomenal job for the crap that had been written out for them. What kind of writing was that? The second problem I have is the lack of a character arc, or the total diversion of the character arc that the Chakanim had originally planted in the first 11 episodes. The other problem I have with it is the insertion of a subplot that we didn't necessarily need, especially at the end of the series. It confused everybody, including myself. Now, I do understand that this series is an adaptation of a web novel, and Chakanim probably wanted to incorporate parts of the web novel more into the storyline in the show to make audiences who loved the web novel more familiar with it, which totally get, okay, but here's the thing. Especially for a drama. As a writer, they should know that they should probably be giving little snippets here and there about why this person chooses what he chooses at the end. Why he chooses to go over to Argon. Oh, fudge, I forgot what place it was called. Why he chooses to go there and how he chooses to go there. And, you know, things like that. Because it was a total... Shoo, it was a sharp left turn that the audiences were kind of taken aback and going, what the heck? Now, I know that in his resume, they did list at the beginning of the series that he did once used to be a war correspondent and a negotiator. I get that. But you mention it once at the beginning of a series and then expect your audience to remember every single little detail, a small detail like that was mentioned in passing, and you're expecting them to remember that at the very last episode after you've already shoved a bunch of other information down our throats, because there was a bunch of plot twists in this series, which meant everybody that was watching this probably they heard it, but in their minds it totally left. It left the station because the information wasn't significant enough to be remembered. So that being said, it needed to be more present in the script so that audiences wouldn't be so taken aback when they see him go to Argon. And another thing that I found really cheesy, and this has nothing to do with the writing, this is more to do with the directing, the sex scene when, you know, finally they argue everything out. The sex scene was a little cheesy because he opens up the scene with them covered underneath the sheet. And then you see the sheet slowly being pulled off them as they're making love. It's just, it's weird. It's cheesy. It's awkward. It's awkward. I mean, it was a bad shot. Bad dialogue, bad shot. And my other problem is the character arcs. So the character arcs were fine from episodes 1 to 11, especially with Hong Hui-ju She learns how to be herself. She's strong and she's becoming more vocal, and she's learning how to speak up for herself, which is something that she's never done before. So I thoroughly enjoyed that character arc. Seon became more open, especially when it came to Hong Hui-ju. He's opened up. He's relaxed a little bit. He's no longer just the angry cutoff person that we saw at the beginning of the series, which is fine from episodes 1 to 11. Again, if you ended it on episode 11, it probably would have been better. He does a 180 in episode 12. All that he's learned up to episode 11 is totally tossed out the window the moment that the writer decided that he was going to just hop, skip, and a jump to Argon without telling his wife and just totally poof, disappear. No explanation, no telling her, wait for me, which is another problem I have, because when she finally, when Hui-ju finally sees him, he says, I told you to wait for me. Like, bruh, when did you tell her to wait for you? You literally just disappeared one night when she was in the hospital. Didn't give her any contact other than one random phone call where you don't actually say anything. You just listen to her say, hello, hello, hello. And then you hang up. Like, I don't get it. When did you say, wait for me? It's like he learned absolutely nothing. You had a good story arc. You had a good character arc for Baek Se-yeon throughout the entire series, and you threw it out the window in episode 12. It just doesn't make sense. The entirety of episode 12 didn't make sense. What was the point in this? Here's how I would have written episode 12. If I was, as an amateur writer who knows not to piss off her audience, who needed to keep in as much of the scenes already present as possible. For those of you who didn't like the Argon scene, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to include that. My thought process was, if I were to do this job, but I had to keep most of the scenes that they've already shot, okay? But I had to do a couple of reshoots. Here's how I would have written that. He quits because we knew he never really liked the job anyway. And he donates all the money that his father gave him or left to him. Totally fine. Totally get it. Moving on. Then he gets a job offer to go to Argon because we've already left little breadcrumbs throughout the series that he used to be a negotiator and he used to be a war correspondent. He accepts the job. He tells Hui-ju. Hui-ju does not like it. They get into an argument. He goes anyway. He's away for several months and then he suddenly disappears without any contact and she doesn't know what's happening to him. So she and the journalist decide to go into their own kind of investigation and they try to find a way for her to get to Argon herself. So that way she can look for Seon. She finds Seon in Argon. They have their lovely cheesy dialogue that you've already filmed. You have the even cheesier love scene that should not have been filmed, but oh, whatever. And you can keep most of the scenes. But with that little tweak, you've kept to the story arc from episodes 1 to 11 that you were creating. You've not given him all of these steps to go to get better and better and learn his lessons, only to just throw it out the window for the last episode. So this was my little spiel on the ending of When the Phone Rings. For those of you who do not know, I do have a commentary, written reviews on my drama list. And I am actually working on another drama right now that I'm going to be writing a review for. It's called Who Is She, which is based off of a popular movie from 2014 called Miss Granny, which I think in Korean is called Halmoni Agashi. Maybe not. I might be totally wrong. I don't know. I do know that it's called Miss Granny on Netflix. I highly suggest you watch that movie because it's a great movie. So look forward to looking for that on my written reviews on dramaaddictscorner.com. Thank you for listening to me today. So yeah, give them that big finish.